back with episode 677 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville. Yes, I'm still mourning.
This is Gary from Jacksonville, and convention season is right around the corner.
Yes, it is. And, well, I wonder how many things related to all of the various comments and topics that we've discussed in recent weeks will show up at those conventions, at least in terms of cosplay and various things on sale. Well, I guess we'll find out as the year goes on. But yeah, we are going to go ahead and get into a little bit of feedback and, well, just open topics in general. But first, before we do any of that, Edmund, if you could just give a kind of quick general disclaimer.
Yes, we will talk about whatever we like. So if you haven't heard about these things, you'll be spoiled.
Yep, that's pretty much how it goes. All right, and yes, well, I guess that we'll maybe get into some of the feedback as it is more applicable to certain topics, but we are going to go ahead and just get into some of those topics right now. And Gary, I'm just going to go ahead and let you start. And what have you been up to in the last week or so that would be of interest perhaps to us and or the viewers?
Well,
viewers, listeners,
that,
something like that, one of those.
Well, the things that I'm legally able to talk about. yes, it's been a big Star Trek week for me. Two of the various Star Trek fan films were released this week. The first one was Star Trek Horizons, which is actually set in the Enterprise era. And one guy did it himself. He ended up getting, maybe, I think, about $10,000 to $12,000 in donations and put together a great story. A little heavy green screen, but still a lot of fun. It involves things like the preservers from the original series, as well as you know, some other nods here and there. But I wouldn't call it a fan service by any means. It fit together very well. Also, the fan production Starship Farragut also released their final episode in the TOS realm. It's called The Crossing, and it involves a little bit of the mirror universe. And it's quite a good episode story, and the production quality is pretty high for a fan show, for a fan fan episode. I'd say it's very good, quite watchable. The interesting thing about Starship Farragut is they've actually been around for more than a dozen years now, and they've done, I believe, somewhere around 8 to 10 what I would call classic TOS format episodes, and they've decided that they've had their fill. So they sold off all their sets to the Star Trek Continues fan group, and they're in the process now of locating a studio/stage to start building the Wrath of Khan era, and they're going to rebuild all the Enterprise to Wrath of Khan specs and pull out all their Monster Maroon costumes that you're familiar with from Star Trek 2 through 4 and start shooting in that era now, because they felt they've done all they can in the TOS realm. So it's quite an endeavor, as well as a testament to their love of Star Trek, that they're now actually going into another era after really, in a sense, perfecting the you know, what they've done with TOS. And I've been on those sets, and if you've seen any of my sort of pictures lately, that where I'm in uniform on a bridge or in a hallway, it was from their sets, and they're really great sets. So I'm sort of surprised that they're just sort of willing to sell them off and start from scratch all over again. But so it's quite interesting. So as I said, this was their last TOS TOS era show, and I wish them success with their Wrath of Khan era shows. So we'll have to, you know, see. But you know, like I said, they do a very good job. The sets are state of the art, and the stories are very good as well. So that's that. On the book front, thanks to one of our fellow hosts, John, I've started reading the Star Trek Seekers, which is a kind of follow up to Vanguard, but as John said, not exactly. So that's been fun as well. And as I hinted at my tease, I'm working on costumes for the con season. I finally got together my Golden Age Flash costume that I tried to pull together for last year but didn't make happen. And I'm going to try and pull together at least one other costume myself. And I have a commission for a third. And it's an odd thing about some of these people who actually are willing to make costumes for you. I wouldn't call them ridiculously expensive, but they're still not cheap. And you have to be careful who you go with. A lot of these people are, perhaps they're well-intentioned, but they either can't get the costume to you in time, or quite frankly, they just take your money and they're gone. So you have to be careful. The person I'm working with currently has several recommendations from friends that I know and who've gotten costumes from him. I've seen them, so they're, you know, of good quality. So I'm hoping this, the third time, will be the charm as I'm commissioning a costume, which I don't want to show until I actually have it on. So,
okay.
But I am looking forward to doing that as well. So that's it on the con front. And that's, you know, that's about it, I'd say, at the moment in our circles. So.
Yeah, as far as conventions are concerned, I mean, the first real one that I think I'll be getting to this year is in a couple weeks. The week after Easter, there's a con called Zenkai Con that is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And it's actually, it's going to be...
You get there by carriage, John?
Yes. I hitch up my horse to my Surrey. And yes, no.
Funnily enough, I think Banshee is coming back around that same time, so it all comes together.
There you go. the thing that's probably most notable about this one is that the folks over at Anime Jam Session are going to be there, as well as some of the fellow listeners. So it's going to be an opportunity for me to kind of see them in convention mode. And it'll be a nice weekend kind of with fellow friends here on the VOG Network. And cool. Yeah,
excellent.
Hanging out in Amish country, Pennsylvania, for 2.5 days.
Yep.
Well, it's not technically just an anime convention. It's more of a pop culture thing as well, from what I can read here. But there, it does definitely have its roots in anime because, you know, it has a masquerade, it has karaoke, it has all that, the usual stuff that you would expect from an anime-type convention. So, yeah, there's going to be quite a lot of that, and I'm looking forward to it. So that'll be nice. And then, yeah, shortly thereafter, we'll be going up to Boston for PAX East. And in May and June, we actually have probably at least one convention each, anime related. In fact, there's a new one that is in New Jersey in May called Anime Fan Fest that's in Somerset. And then we'll be going down in June, mid-June, to Anime Next in Atlantic City. And that's the one where, we're going to probably also once again see the folks from Anime Jam Session. So looking forward to seeing Ranma, Ari, and Mako-chan down there a couple times in the next couple months. So it'll be good. It's going to be weird because, you know, I've of course listened to them every single week, and I've kind of gotten into the habit of going and hanging out in the chat room during their live stream on Tuesday nights. And so this will be, despite the fact I've been doing that for a couple of years and I've certainly known them and interact with them all the time on Facebook and stuff. The first half of this year, I'll have been hanging out with them more than ever. So it's kind of nice. I mean, what the conventions really allow us to do, and certainly Dragon Con has been like this for us, is just to get us all in the same place at
yes.
once. That's always a lot of fun in person, you know, versus virtually. Hopefully we can all experience that again this year. If nothing else, we have to kind of cross our fingers for our friends down under.
Yes, absolutely.
But we shall see. But really looking forward to it. Probably not doing too much in terms of new cosplay just yet. Definitely breaking out Deathstroke and Shay from Assassin's Creed Rogue. So those tend to be very popular. And then a couple other more casual things along the way. I'd still love to pull together a 12, but we'll see if I can actually pull that off. Fundage is a little bit tight for cosplay at the moment. And I have a couple other things that I might do. I, of course, always want to bring my or refurbish, recondition, my Survey Corps gear.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten a little bit tattered over the last few years, so I need to do something about that. But that's always a good idea. And then there's a couple other ones that I have in mind. But there are a couple that are more dependent on the people that may be around at the time. So, yeah, it all depends on whether or not the stars align. But we'll see. We'll see. Let's see here. Edmund, why don't you go ahead and get us started off on your end?
I will say, just in terms of the ongoing Future Diary update, I think if I remember right, kind of like you towards the end, I have progressed an episode or two, but I'm not quite to the end yet. Yes, I'm aware of Yuno's reset, let's put it that way. I have been kind of busy busy with other things, so even though I am really looking forward to seeing how it actually plays out in the final three episodes or so. I was intrigued to see that okay, so my thought about twins was semi on point, but obviously not completely on point. Really enjoying the series, and kind of stretching out these last few episodes so they can have full impact. Now that I'm hearing you guys talking about cosplay stuff and conventions and things, assuming our Dragon Con meetup can actually happen, I am feeling more and more pressure to finally get that blazer with the white piping together. So that number six can actually pose with you two.
Excellent, excellent.
I'll get the inflatable ball.
I will not guarantee a helium weather balloon, but if I can, it will certainly be there.
Oh boy, that would be wonderful. So definitely. I have to say that, Edmund, you're not the only one who has been pulled into the world of Future Diary.
Okay,
Billy. One of our
prolific
listeners and fellow Facebookers over in social media has been definitely listening and paying attention to our discussions about anime. And he, in fact, has marathoned, I believe, all in the last few days, the entire run, including the OVA, for Future Diaries.
Okay.
So he was quite happy with it. He enjoyed it a lot. And, we've had a couple discussions here and there. But yes, I think that that went particularly well in terms of recommendations, and he had seen quite a bit of things. So, he was kind of happy to see that it fell into the vein of some of the other material that he enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So once again, for those who are giving us recommendations, thank you very much. It seems to be proving rather popular. So in a moment, I will hopefully scare up some of the other recommendations that I've gotten from my friend.
You just reminded me there was actually something that I then remembered off the air from last week. In terms of anime stuff, the series Darker Than Black was another of the ones that I really enjoyed. Has these elements of it's a Tokyo where there's a malevolent thing that has happened in the center of it that is creating all of these sort of supernatural elements. Elements in common with some things it's like elements of Ghost in the Shell, elements of Evangelion, in terms of sort of secret agents and supernatural stuff, but sort of melded together, went for two series, both of which were both equally enjoyable, is another one that I would definitely recommend to people for people to check out if they haven't already.
Hmm. Yes. Now, let's see. If I just look at the stack here that Billy sent me of this picture of my goodness. Now this is going to seem like the world's most potent anime whiplash in terms of tone. But okay, so we go from Future Diary to Magic Users Club to Madoka Magica the movie to Tokyo ESP to I can't read this quite. Is that Nerima Daikon Brothers to Steins Gate to Samurai Pizza Cats to Terror in Resonance, the complete series? Holy cow! I definitely want to see at least half of that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess which half? God, it's been so long since I've seen Madoka Magica. I really need to get into that again. He also goes on to say in his discussion for our big anime show that we did, which for those who are perhaps not sure, that was show 671.
Oh, yes.
So if you haven't listened, yes, that was that's become actually slightly infamous among some listeners, as they enjoyed it quite a bit. But he says, Psychopass is wonderful. It's worth a shot. Season 2 has been moved into my anime queue. Forgot I had it. For those who are afraid of subtitles, the Madoka Magica, Future Diary, and Psychopass dubs are pretty good.
Okay.
Heathen.
Yes.
Sorry. No. I know some people that are
I know some people prefer the dubs. That's fine.
Yes, exactly. But then I said, yeah, good feedback for this coming week. And then he said, also, it's difficult to find Paranoia Agent online from his experience.
Yes.
Can't wait for it to be re-released.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's a classic case of it was some challenging material, let us say. So not necessarily that popular or something that the distributors are actively trying to queue up for re-release, unfortunately.
Well, I did get a few other people that kind of randomly gave me the comment that I was bemoaning the fact that there's no word whatsoever of any kind of release here in the West of the Blu-ray for Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Right.
And that it's like, really, they literally license everything in Japan with this particular property and this particular show. And yet we barely get the scraps over here. I mean, yep. I can't tell you how much of the stuff that I have that's Evangelion related here in terms of merch, that's all import.
Right. Of course.
Because there's practically nothing over here.
Yeah. That's the only way to get it. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you can get some good stuff for cheap, but it's like, if you want any of the really good stuff that they get for, like, you know, that's everywhere over there, you've really got to hunt down for good deals. Now, there was another recommendation that I got, and it was actually based on I guess it's a GIF is the way that I would pronounce it, that was on Facebook, and I said, okay, I've been advised I should watch this, but I don't even know who the character is, but I'm told that I would like the character, and so we did a little bit of digging, Billy and I, and found that it is a show called Date Alive. Date Alive, okay?
Okay.
And in particular, it's the character, it was Kurumi, I believe. I haven't watched it yet, so apparently a character that is fairly... similar in at least some aspects to Yuno in terms of being a yandere.
Yes.
So basically I then ran it past my friend Lindsay, who said that yes, if you like the yandere kind of psychotic types, then this is definitely somebody who would be in that particular vein, and that kind of element is in the show. She definitely says that the show is really good. She highly recommends it. And yes, it's basically confirming that it's not one of these shows where it is a kind of shallow characterization. There is depth to the character. Mm-hmm. So that's another one that I will probably put on my list, because if I've got a few people that are giving it recommendations, and certainly people that I trust, like Lindsay, then certainly I'm going to put that on my list. She also mentioned a couple other shows that I think are a little beyond what even our listenership would be willing to sample. So, in terms of violence, so
yes, okay.
Yeah, there's a few things out there, guys. Oh, yeah. Obviously, anime. We all know that it has a bit of a reputation for pushing the boundaries, lots of boundaries. And if you really want to hear more and more about those kinds of things, go over to Anime Jam Session. And every once in a while, they have something they call the hentai episodes.
Ah, yes,
highly entertaining. Let me tell you. Talk to Mako-chan. She'll be more than happy to give you recommendations along those veins if that's where you want to go. But when it comes to more of the, you know, obviously the more complex characters that are a little bit more psychologically complex and dense, those are the kind of characters that, as we mentioned in our infamous show 671, yeah, that's what I usually kind of move towards and want to see is something a little deeper. And that's, I guess, what a couple of these shows would definitely be categorized as. So yeah, lots of recommendations, guys, for those who are, or guys and girls, doesn't matter, that are into maybe looking for some new anime to watch in the weeks and months to come. Maybe after this spring season is over and we have a little more time over the summer. That
yes.
seems like a really good time to get into marathoning anime.
Yes.
So there we go. All right.
Since we do take it as a given that whatever CBS is going to throw up for summer series, we probably don't want to watch.
Not after a certain show is off the air anyway.
Yes, exactly. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah. But you know what? Just because you know, I have to do it. We do have a little bit less to talk about in this show. We need a little bit of time to fill. And now that Future Diary is once again on my mind, there's a song that reminds me a little bit of Yuno. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it into this break. And when we come back, we'll just resume our open topic. So stay tuned. All right, and we are back. And I'm sure, Edmund, if you even I don't know if you like to listen to our show, because I know that we have a tendency not to want to listen to ourselves talk. But if you do, don't worry. By the time that you listen to this one, you'll probably be finished with the series and nothing will be spoiled. So that's fine.
Okay, good.
Let's see. The other thing that I guess I was going to throw out there was that a lot of my free time this week has not been watching anime, but has been playing a game called Life is Strange. I mentioned this a few shows in the past, that it was a game I was looking to get into, and it kind of just started, I think, last time that we had Open Topics. But yeah, this game has been a lot of fun. I'm deep into the fourth of the five episodes. This is very much like the Telltale games, like The Walking Dead or similar games like that that they have. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, you know, Tales from the Borderlands or Game of Thrones come to mind. They have a ton of material out there, actually, that's coming from, I think they have Batman coming soon this summer, and then they have a deal with Marvel coming in the next few years. So they have this, you know, choose your own adventure, you know, type of game where your decisions and choices dictate where the game goes and things of that nature. But this is not made by Telltale. This is actually made by the folks that did the game Remember Me. I think it's Don't Nod or something like that is the name of the company, and it was released by Square Enix. But regardless of that, it plays an awful lot like that, but it is a it's actually a fairly interesting psychological type of game, because you're playing as a teenager who has discovered that she has the power to rewind time. And I think I mentioned this before, but it gets fairly inventive in the sense where, for instance, you might be having a conversation with somebody and they don't want to reveal anything to you because they're being standoffish, but you'll get one little detail and then you can rewind time and hone in on that detail, and that will be the way that you can kind of get past their defenses a little bit. And so it becomes this whole thing of really paying attention to what others say about certain characters so that you know what information you need to kind of put together in context. And it's just the characterization itself is pretty well done. The writing is really smart. The characters are really well done. But I mean, most of all is that my daughter watched me playing it, and she took to the main character right away. She really enjoyed the attitude of the main character, and she played the entire game over the course of 4 days. So, and that's even going to school and everything. It's not like she had off. She just literally binged this game. It was just like, that was it. She wanted to play this game and get to the end before I did, just so that she could lord it over me that she finished it. She won't get a platinum, of course, because I'm playing slower in order to get every single trophy. But no, it's a really good game. I recommend it if you're into that kind of character-driven, story-driven game where you really get deep into the characters. This is a game for you. It's not extremely long. I think that all told, it's probably going to take me about 10, 12 hours because I'm playing all five episodes at once. But yeah, it's definitely a different tenor of than, say, you know, Assassin's Creed Syndicate that I played the heck out of for like months. This is definitely taking a sea change into something else, but it's a welcome change. It's really like playing through a novel, and a fairly good, you know, well-written young adult novel, I should say. And I like the fact that you get just this different perspective from the character of Max, the main character. And there's a really good central mystery at the heart of it. There's a lot of references to Twin Peaks throughout, because it's definitely got some homages to that. And obviously there are a couple of homages to things like Doctor Who and Back to the Future. Very subtle ones. But it's in there because of the kind of timey-wimey stuff that's going on. But I would recommend it. I think that especially the fact that it's just a fairly unique type of story that it's telling. So definitely put a lot of time into that. And Gary had mentioned the first Seeker book. I actually just finished reading the fourth book in that series, and really enjoyed it. It kind of took the angle of a certain kind of alien encounter and came at it from a different direction. It's definitely very much in the vein of Star Trek and the complexities of first contact and so forth, but with familiar characters that we've been reading several books about. So yep, very much enjoying that, and looking forward to digging my way into Arrow Vengeance, which is, from what I can tell, set in the second season of of the show. So it's it involves Deathstroke. It involves all of the flashbacks, or at least similar flashbacks to what we saw during the second season of Arrow. And it's written by people who have written for the show, so they know their stuff, one would suspect. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a nice thick novel too. It's a nice brick. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that was definitely, I think, as many people have been able to guess, the second season of Arrow was my favorite so far. So I'm looking forward to going back. I hope it's not just a retread of exactly what happened in the show. I hope they're kind of filling in some blanks along the way. But yeah, that's a pretty good rundown of what I've been up to in terms of genre stuff this week. That, and just trying to keep up with stuff, keep ahead of the game, because as we record this, Daredevil Season 2 has hit Netflix.
Yes.
So, yes, we will be once again reviewing Daredevil, much like the first season of Daredevil and Jessica Jones, one episode a week, so that we can do, you know, fair comparison, and we're not diluting the strengths or weaknesses of Daredevil as we go. But we want to give each episode its due. And yeah, so we're going to start next time we do episodic discussion. We'll be covering the premiere of Season 2 of Daredevil. Gary, anything that you want to add to the slate or add to the discussion?
Let me think. Yes, my daughter is reading and quizzing me and finding me lacking in my remembrance of the novel 1984. she started reading. On my shelf I have the 1984 commemorative edition of 1984.
Yes, from 1984, yes.
Yeah, and so she pulled that down, and you know, she's in seventh grade, so it's but she's a very strong reader, so she's finding it a little hard to get through, but at the same time, she hasn't given up either. But we're starting to make little comments back and forth, like, "Oh, Diana, that's very double good plus." And then my wife and son are looking at us both oddly while we're both snickering. So it's enjoyable, but she's asking me questions, and I have to say it's probably been an honest 15 years since I last read that book, and my memory of it is very fleeting. So. So I might have to go back and skim it quick, just so I can keep up with her questions. But it's still fun, and I'm glad she's reading that book. It's definitely, I don't even want to say it prophetic, because it almost seems to be happening in so many ways. So maybe it's an instruction guide.
Yeah, I was waiting for the comment that, weren't you alive? Don't you remember all this happening? Anyway, how about you, Edmund? Anything else that kind of on your radar?
On the reading side, I must admit, I have been, getting myself, fully immersed back in, The Night Manager and, Jean Le Carré, back in, what I was shocked to realize was, yes, his words from over 20 years ago, or I think close to 25 years ago now. But at the same time, just really enjoying getting back into some of that earlier Le Carré, and because much as he's been an author who I've read throughout my pretty much most of my adult life, some of the more recent novels, I have found to be a little slower and a bit more of a slog, and getting back into some of this earlier work where it is snappier, and you've got this operational stuff going on, has been a bit of a treat, and it's getting me to realize. I mean, Gary was just talking about going back and rereading classics like 1984, and I'm thinking I may need to go back and reread some of those other earlier Le Carrés just to rekindle my love of his writing and his character observations. But certainly this is one of those cases where there are certain times when an adaptation is coming up, and you don't want to read the source material just so you don't get disappointed by how poorly they've redone it. But in this case, I certainly, given the cast they assembled, I think this was definitely a good decision to remind myself of the story they are telling, and it may just be time to delve into a little bit of the classic George Smiley as well along the way.
Sounds quite interesting. Did you say that the Night Manager had spooled out fully over in the UK?
It is. I'm not sure if it's fully spooled out. It's pretty close to it. And then premiering here on AMC in April. So very soon.
All right. Very soon. Yeah, I've seen a lot of ads for it during The Walking Dead.
Oh, absolutely. And, AMC is pushing it big time. So.
Well, one would think for good reason. So, yeah, I'm hoping that it gets the eyeballs that it deserves.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I can't think of anything else offhand other than for those who are already sick of March Madness, again, go back a little bit in this episode. We gave you lots of anime opportunities to get away from sports ball and enjoy something perhaps that you have not yet sampled. Before I go into any of those, I just need to find a time that Life is Strange kind of took the time that I was expecting we were going to perhaps get into Cowboy Bebop, but we are going to do it. I have every faith that we will get to it soon. But if that's it, then we are going to go ahead and wrap up this week. I want to thank all the listeners and thank you guys for once again delivering for our audience.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google+, under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates, but let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time. Watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.